Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Welcome everybody that's here and everyone that's online. That's just the kind of church we've decided to be. We just believe. We're just audacious and foolish enough to believe God's word. If God's word says it, it settles it here at Bethel. Amen. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not done. In fact, it's only going to increase. Because that's what the Word of God says. That in the last days, and we're getting closer, Pastor Israel, to those last days, he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And these are the signs that follow those who believe. Right? Miracles, signs, and wonders will follow those who believe. And again, like I said, we are not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power to change lives, to save lives. Amen? And Jesus said, let me just remind you more of what the word says, and that's why it settled it. Jesus said, we would do the same things he had done, and even greater. Hallelujah. Well, let's get busy, church. We got to get busy to do those greater things, amen? So we're going to continue our series, You Matter, and I want you not to turn to your neighbor, but I want you to turn to yourself, whether you're here or online, and I want you to say this, I matter. Come on, say it to your, like you believe it, I matter. That's what's true, and God proved that 2,000 years ago. God the Father proved that you matter to him. That you matter by sending his most precious gift, his son. He was willing to bankrupt heaven to save our souls. So settle that, underline that today, that you matter to him. You matter to him. And he is not withholding one good thing from you today. Amen? Because that's what the Word of God says, as we're going to see. Today, I've entitled my message, The Word Matters. The Word of God, say it with me, the Word of God, it matters. It matters. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how the Word matters and how you make a decision. You make a decision that the Word matters to you. Because you matter to God. Because your life matters, you must make a decision that the Word matters. Because it's the Word that's incorruptible seed that has the power to make all things new. He makes all things new. The Word of God is where all the pressure is. It's not on you. It's not on me. It's on the Word. And the Word of God can handle it. Amen? Because the Word of God is a person. His name is Jesus. Jesus is his name. He is the Word. Jesus matters. He matters. That's why we're here today, isn't it? That's why you're watching online today, because Jesus matters. And Jesus' words matter. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 23 or just listen. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? God's word matters. It's more powerful than Thor's hammer, okay? Way more powerful, but it's like that. It's indestructible. It's all powerful. Amen? And when it's in the hands of someone who believes, Hallelujah. When it's in the rightful hand of the one that it belongs to. And I don't know about you, but I belong, amen, to the Word. I belong to Jesus. And when His Word is in my hand, it is activated. It is activated to do powerful things. It is like fire. It is like a hammer that has the power to destroy the works of the enemy. It has the power to heal the sick. It has the power to set people free. Amen? Do I have any believers in the house? Woo! Man, we're excited in the house today. Amen? Well, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, where I believe we'll find the ingredients and the principles to ensuring the Word matters in your life. If you capture this of what Paul writes, you can find the ingredients, the principles, the truths, the promises of assuring the Word will matter in your life. So let's see what he has to say. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for sending the word, sending Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word came and lived a perfect life. And the Word went on the cross to fulfill the Word, to die for our sins. And then the third day, the Word, Jesus, rose again by the power of the Holy Spirit, by resurrection power, raised Him up, fulfilling the Word. Jesus, you fulfilled what you said you would do. This is why we can believe. And believe every one of your words. Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way of the word today. For the word, when it goes forth, will go out and accomplish that in which it was sent out to do. And so I pray that it would find good soil today. Eyes that have been open, ears that are open to receive the word, who will never be the same because they've received and accepted and believed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the first step to making the Word of God matter in your life. Step one is you got to love it. You got to love it. You got to learn to love the Word. And why would you love the Word? Why would you love it if all you were told or all you thought was the Bible was just a book of rules that was keeping you from a good life, keeping you from the things you really wanted. This is what the devil, he punked me into believing for years, that it was just a book of rules that God selfishly sent out to keep me from having fun. And he selfishly wanted me to obey him so somehow his ego would be fed. Well, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Okay, and you will not find that in the word. But what you will find is the scripture saying, blessed is he, blessed is she who lives by the word, who lives according to it. Over and over and over again, the Bible, it promises those who believe and those who receive and those who live by the word, they would have the blessed life, the happy life, the fulfilled life. This is what that we would have. We would receive a reward if we sought after the word. This is what's true. But this is what the devil doesn't want you to believe and know about the Word of God. So you must first make a decision to love it. And according to the rabbinic tradition, And I ran this by our resident rabbi, Rabbi Israel, if this was true, and he was aware of this. So this is true and confirmed by our rabbi, okay? And I mistakenly almost called him our Pharisee, and if he was, he would be a good Pharisee. But it was a Jewish practice for young boys at the age of six when they began school, the rabbi would take out honey, and that's what this is, a little teddy bear. This is my prop today. It's honey, as we're going to see. The word of God is like honey. But he would take honey and he would pour honey on every child, first day of school, upon their little slate, their chalkboard. And then he would instruct these young boys to begin to lick their slate, their chalkboard. As they were licking the honey off of their slates, he would read Psalm 119, 103 out loud. That reads, "May the words of God be sweet to your taste, sweeter than honey to your mouth." So the introduction to the word of God by the rabbi to young men on the first day of school, which they were going to school to learn the word of God, was this: the word is sweet, like honey, like honey. Is God's word sweet like honey to you today? Do you see it that way? Because if you know the truth, you should see it that way. In fact, turn with me to Psalm 19, verse 7. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. Psalm 19, verse 7 reads, "Yahweh's word is perfect in every way. How it revives our souls. Yahweh's law leads us to the truth, and his ways change the simple into wise. Yahweh's teachings are right and make us joyful. His precepts are so pure. Yahweh's commands challenge us to keep close to his heart. The revelation light of his word makes my spirit shine radiant. Yahweh's decrees are trustworthy. The fear of Yahweh is pure, enduring forever. The rarest treasures of life are found in his truth." That's why God's word is prized like others prize the finest gold. "Sweeter also than honey are his living words, sweet words dripping from the honeycomb." Is the word like honey to you today? If it's not, may it become like honey. Why would you think of it like honey? Why would you think of the word like honey? Because honey is sweet. Honey gives energy. Honey is awesome. It's awesome. What do you think of the word? Do you think it's awesome? What filter do you have today? What filter are you looking out with? Do you see the Bible as what was keeping you from good things or bringing you good things? Do you see God's commands as burdensome or life-giving? Do you know that God is love? Which means nothing God does is selfish. Listen, we have all been instructed or commanded with rules that seem selfish, that are obviously selfish. As good or bad as our parents were, they didn't do everything out of loving kindness or selflessness, did they? Maybe dad had that drink in the fridge you weren't allowed to touch. I'm not talking about the alcohol. I'm talking about that special sweet drink that you really would have liked, but dad's like, that's dad's, don't touch. Or in the pantry, you can't touch that. That's sometimes we think of God somehow is keeping us.
So true.
I mean, remember, in the beginning, God had just one command. Don't eat of this tree. This one. You can eat of every other one. Just not one. Just one. And why? Because of love. That's why. Because without choice, without free will, you can't choose love. If no is not a possibility, your yes doesn't mean anything. So he allowed out of his loving, he gave, and he knew what we would do. And yet, he allowed it so that he could display even greater and more lavish love and how much we mattered to him. Amen?
Amen.
So, how do you see the word? Do you see it like a treasure box that you can search in and find promises that you can believe and receive and hold on to and be rewarded from? Because that's how I see it. I go, and here's the thing. Let's deal with this religious spirit once again. When I get in the Word, I am looking forward to being rewarded. I am looking forward to being rewarded. Every time I come to God, I have an expectation to be rewarded as a result of meeting with God. I mean, think about how ridiculous it is. Let's just bring this down to our level right now. Some of you have gym memberships that you never use. But occasionally, right, maybe, if you can remember way back when you did use it last. And you went to the gym. Were you not expecting that your time in the gym would have a reward to it, would have a benefit to it? Of course. Otherwise, why would you go if there was not some kind of reward to it? And yet we want to pretend like, oh God, I'm just coming to you because I really love you. You know, and everybody else comes to church because they want to get blessed. Hey, let me instruct you what it should look like, at least in the spirit, if not in the natural, okay? You should be coming with your swag to church. Go, I'm fixing to get blessed today. I am fixing to give me some of God's promises. I'm fixing. That's how we said it in Tennessee. We're fixing to get blessed. Okay? You can't help but when you're in his presence that he's going to bless you. And if you're not expecting that, then you're missing it. And as we talked about last week, you can't even please him if you don't come with that attitude. So every day, you can actually go, oh, I'm coming to the Word because there's some sweet honey. The Word is like honey. There's something sweet today God's going to speak to me. God's going to show me. Even when it's hard, even when it's a tough one that, oh, I got to do that. Okay, it's worth it. It's worth it because he's a rewarder. Whatever you do, whatever I do for God, whatever we do, if we do it for God, it will be rewarded. If not in this life, the life to come. And I want every one of you to believe that, to receive that, because it's true. And because it's the only way to please God, is believing that. So, it's sweet, come on. And this isn't this, you know what, get in the Bible if you really love Jesus today. No, no, no. This is get in the Bible so you can get rewarded. Get in the Bible so you can get blessed. Get in the Bible. I'm not trying to guilt you into it. I'm trying to entice you. Okay? Come, taste and see that I'm good, Jesus said. Come and taste and see. You know what? Yes, Jesus was totally cool with, hey, come and just try me. And yet we at Christians sometimes, well, no, first you gotta repent. First you gotta lay your life down. No. Just taste and see. Because once you taste and see Jesus, it's like irresistible. It's like, oh my goodness, I've never had anything quite like this. I gotta have me some more of this. You mean I can have this daily? There's a daily supply of this the Bible talks about? Yes, yes, yes. And so if you're going to live like the word matters, you got to learn how to love it. You got to learn how to love it. And here are some other reasons why you should love it. In Psalm 119, there are a few of the blessings that come. Psalm 119:28, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word, the promise of strength. The word of God is sweet like honey. It promises you strength. Psalm 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It has power to cause you to do the right thing versus the wrong thing. That's what it has the power to do. Psalm 119:72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. The word of God brings value beyond all the riches of the world. This is what the word of God does. Is that not sweet? Is that not amazing? Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. What does that promise? Direction. When you feel like you have no direction in your life or purpose, the word of God brings light to show you where to go. It gives direction. Is that sweet? Yes, it is. Psalm 119:114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. What does that promise? Protection. The word of God promises protection. Protection. Hallelujah. Psalm 119:133. Direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. What is that promise? It's the promise to be free of addictions and bondage. That there's no addiction. There's no bondage that has the power to overcome you according to the word. I mean, is that not sweet? What? Is that not sweet like honey? Who wants some of this poured all over them today? Because that's what I'm doing. I'm pouring the word all over you. Come on, stick out your tongue and just take it in. Hallelujah. Psalm 27:7. When your soul is full, you turn down even the sweetest honey. But when your soul is starving, every bitter thing becomes sweet. So what's the key is stop eating junk food. You know, sometimes the word's not sweet to you because you're too busy sinning. You're too busy eating on the things of the world. You're too busy even eating those things that are permissible, but they're not eternal. Okay? And so you're full. You're full. I mean, it'd be like going, and I'm not to pick on McDonald's, but let's pick on it for just a moment, okay? It's like you just gone and you supersize McDonald's, and I come up to you and I go, hey, I want to take you right now to Ruth Chris or Fleming's. And you're like, Yeah, you probably still come, you know, hoping like somehow like you'll get hungry on the drive over. But I promise you this, if you filled up on that, even Fleming's will not be as good as it could have been if you would have gone hungry. If you would have gone hungry, right? Desiring it. So you got to love it. You got to learn to love it. You got to learn to love it. And the more you know about it and the why behind it, I mean, so many are like, you know, they read the Bible. Yeah, you know, God doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't do that anymore. And he doesn't do that. Like, he doesn't heal. He doesn't, you know, like, all these things that, like, he supposedly doesn't do anymore that are in the Bible. And what are you left with? After you tear, I won't tear it out because this is a real Bible. I'm not going to do that. But like I start tearing out pages. Oh yeah, God doesn't heal anymore. Well, that's a whole lot of pages in my Bible you have to rip out if you don't believe God heals. And if you don't believe God is a provider for you and to all your needs, okay, you got to rip out some more. And if you don't believe that peace is available, you got to rip out some more. And if you don't believe in prophecy anymore, well, there's a whole lot of things you got to start ripping out. And then if you don't believe in the spiritual gifts, you got more pages to rip out, right? And you don't believe in this and this. And what are you left with? Like chicken soup for your soul? Reader's Digest? Listen, when I lived for the devil, he let me do whatever I wanted in his kingdom. But somehow now that I give my life to Jesus, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, well, you can't do that anymore. I used to let my believers, you know, years ago do that, but not anymore. No, 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 no. God's not holding back one good thing. We're going to see that address in a moment. He's not withholding one good thing. So, number two, the second step to making the Word of God matter in your life is you got to hear it. You got to hear it. You got to hear the Word. And I'm not talking just with your natural ears. I'm talking your spiritual ears, which come through many times your natural ears. But you got to hear the Word. You got to hear what is it saying. And you got to want to bring the Word of God from here to here. It's not enough to just get the Word of God in here. You know, there's a lot of people that know the Word of God, have it memorized, but yet they haven't gotten it 18 inches down into here. And if you don't get it here, which is number three, third step, you got to believe it and receive it. It ain't going to do anything but produce Pharisees, religious people, people that say God what God used to do. But that's not our God. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And according to the Word, it's only going to increase in power. There's only going to be more signs and wonders, more and more prophecies. Yes, false prophecies too, okay, because the devil's a counterfeiter. He's a counterfeiter. So are we surprised with all the false? No, it just means it's a counterfeit to something that's real. But instead, what do? Oh, counterfeit. Let's just run away from the real. Yeah, that's what the devil would like you to do. Because he knows the power of the Word of God. He knows the power of prophecy. He knows because Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. You got to hear the Word. You got to speak the Word. You got to declare the Word. You got to open up the Word and speak it out loud. You got to find promises. And you got to speak those things until you believe them. Okay? It takes some time sometimes to get promises from here to here. But are you willing to wait? Are you willing to keep saying it until you believe it? Until you've really received it? Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Those that wait on the Lord will see great exploits. Those who wait, actively wait. Amen? Actively wait. Actively wait. The third step to making the Word of God matter in your life is you've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. Hallelujah. You have to believe the Word. Why do many people not see signs and wonders? Why do many people not see miracles? Why do people not see answered prayers? Because they don't believe the Word. They don't believe the Word of God. Jesus said this. Jesus regularly said, your faith, Daniel, has healed you. Your faith has set you free. Your faith. Other times, we talked last week, their lack of faith caused Jesus to not be able to do miracles. Okay, what's your responsibility? What's my responsibility? To believe and receive. And we know how we can believe. We got to hear the word. As we hear the word, we can believe the word. Yes. Amen. We can believe the word. Now I want you to believe this word. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. This should be one you memorize. This should be one you know. If it's not, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So I want to look at these four words for a moment. In point number three of believing it. Will you believe God is for me? These four simple words can change your life. These four simple words are the word of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? So here's the truth. Would you say it with me? God is for me. One more time. God is for me. One more time. God is for me. Do you believe it yet? Because we're hearing it. But will you believe it? I'm not asking you to believe my opinions. I'll make it very clear at times that I'm sharing my opinion. My opinion might be right. I wish it was more right to my wife than she believes. But when we are talking about God's word, we can speak it with authority. We can know it to be true. And what's true is God is for me. God is for you if you believe. God, the creator of the universe, our first word, the self-existent one, Adonai, Lord and Master, the one who holds all things together by the power of his word, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of mankind, God. That's who we're talking about. That is who is for you, God. Let that sink in. God is for you. So what has a chance against you? Answer, nothing. Is. God is right now, present tense, in the moment. Not yesterday. He didn't leave you. Not tomorrow. Right now, he is. He is. God is right now for you. Right now, he's for you. Not later today, right now. Yeah, he'll be for you there, but he's here right now. He is for you. He is for you. Present tense. And guess what? Just walked into the future. Guess what? God is still for me. Still for me. He's still for me. And he's still for all of you. That's a truth. That's a game changer. It's a game changer to know the creator of the universe is for you. For. God is for. He's on my side. He's cheering for me. He wants me to win, to succeed in life. He wants me to be blessed. He is for me. Do you know God wants you blessed? This is why he has the word, his instructions, so you can be blessed and live blessed. This is why he says, don't do that, because that will lead to lack of blessing. But do this. This brings life. I mean, in Deuteronomy, he tells us, like, all the things that lead to death and to curses and destruction. And then if that wasn't enough to convince us not to do that, he goes, now, Don't do that, but choose this. Choose life instead of death. Choose life. Because he wants to bless you. Because he's for you. He's for you. He's for me. Amen? This is what's true. God is for me. Yes, me. You. With all of our sins, with all of our imperfections, our blemishes. Not because of anything we've done. Do you know that? God, he's for you before you ever received him. He loved you and he wanted to be, he's for you. He's for you to win. He's for you to come to him. Now, for God, to allow God to be for you, you've got to receive him. You got to believe that. He is for you, but if you're going to experience the force of love and power for you, you've got to receive him. And when you're living in sin and you're not believing that, guess what? You're missing out on God being for you. This is why you don't feel right. Is he there? Yes, he's there, but you're going the wrong way. You're doing the wrong thing. He's still for you, and he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to remind us and to guide us that you're going the wrong way. Just repent. All you have to do is change the way you're believing. Okay, because in this moment, you don't think God's for you. You think God's holding out on you like Adam and Eve. You're like, I got to take this in my own hands, God, because obviously you're not helping me. You don't look like you're for me right now. So let me be for me. And how's that working for you? How does that work? I know for me so many times that I've been about me being for me and not letting God be for me. It has not led to great things. So in this moment, all we have to do is go, God, I'm no longer going to be about me, and I'm going to be about you so that you can be for me. Which leads us to step. Well, let me give you that verse I said over and over again. I was going to give you that address, Psalm 84:11. Psalm 84:11 says this, God will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. See, when you're walking uprightly, he's not withholding anything. But when you're not walking uprightly, okay, you're walking in the wrong direction of blessing. So he's not blessing your unbelief. He's not blessing your sin. In fact, he's having mercy. He's holding back judgment. He's holding back the consequence. He's so merciful. I mean, you ever wonder why you don't get caught the first time all the time? Mercy. Now me, in God's love, he always told my mom, it's like before I even did it. She had the Holy Spirit. It wasn't fair, right? It's like, Holy Spirit, Mike's about to do this. And here, how did you know? That was mercy. But there's the mercy of God. So when you're not walking uprightly, it's okay. Because you can repent and start walking uprightly so that you can be living under, he's not withholding any good thing. That's what I want to live under. I want to live under God withholding no good thing. The fourth step in making the word of God matter in your life is live it. Live it by waiting, persevering, not wavering, standing, pressing in. Elijah was a man who waited on God, who pressed in. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah is waiting on God, letting the prophets try to call down fire from God, and they're cutting themselves and nothing's happened. Elijah mocks their God and says, "Your God on the toilet?" Okay? It's literally what he said. He goes, "Is your God on the toilet? Is that why he's not here and answering your prayers?" And then he says, "Throw water on it." And he prays and he declares, and fire comes down, consumes it. And then Elijah has all the prophets killed. But then he prays to God for rain to come because they'd been in a drought for many years. And he gets on, I think his knees, he put his head between his knees, at least he's on the ground crying out, and he's sending his assistant, go look to the sea to see if you see any clouds. And he comes back, there's no clouds. He goes, go again. He keeps praying. He keeps waiting. Go again. He comes back seven times. The seventh time, guess what? The servant said, there's a cloud in the size of a fist. He keeps praying, and boom, the rain comes. Church, will you wait? He is faithful. Will you wait for the harvest? Will you wait for the incorruptible seed? Give it time. Give it some time. Keep believing. Keep believing because he's faithful. He will reward you. This he has promised. This you can know for sure. Oh, and I got so much more of the word, which will be in your life group's notes. So get to your life group and you'll see it. I mean, what a great message today as we get ready to kick off ENLI tomorrow night. Okay? If you want more information, there's still time to sign up, but where we're going to get into the word every Monday night here. And we're going to dig deep down into it and see how sweet the word is. It's not about just information. It's about impartation. That's life-changing. So love it, hear it, believe it, live it. What promise in the Word of God are you standing on today? What do you need to stand on? Do you need healing in your body? So what are you going to stand on? What is going to give you the faith? Don't let it be because today, man, I just felt like I could be healed today. No, you need more than just feeling like you can be healed today. You need the Word of God. Because even when you get prayed for and you receive healing, the devil's going to come and he'll snatch that feeling. I mean, like that feeling of what you felt right here, it could be lost by the time you get to your car. No. We don't base our faith on our feeling. We base our faith on the Word of God. We don't put the pressure, the weight of our need on our feelings or opinions, but we put it on the Word of God. We stand on the Word because the Word can handle the pressure. It can handle the pressure of an old man who is beyond the years of having children. God's Word could handle the pressure of giving the father of our faith, Abraham, a son when it wasn't possible. That's what the power of the Word of God has. This is why you must live like it matters, like the Word of God matters. And if you love it, oh, you will eat the fruit of it. If you love it, you will seek after it. You're not doing it because, oh, you know, it's just the religious right thing to do in the morning. Look, if you miss a day, just get up the next day and get some honey. Right? I mean, the devil would just like you to even take 3 days of getting in the Bible to think that now God is happy. That's ridiculous. As if you can come spend time with God because of your good works. My confidence is not in me. If I miss a day, I'm getting up the next day not going, oh man, I'm just terrible. No, that's what the devil wants me to think. I'm a son of God. I'm righteous. Not because of what I've done, but because of what I believed and received. So if you're believing for healing, what's the word? Isaiah 53 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was punished that... The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Psalm 103:3 says, forget not all his benefits. He forgives all of your sins and heals all of your sicknesses. So there's two. Let it be established with two or three witnesses, okay? You got two right there. Stand on that. Next, provision. You need provision in your life. You need a new job. You need some provision to pay off debt. What are you going to stand on? Well, I just feel like God, he wants to bless me. Don't stand on your feeling. Stand on the word of God. The word of God says in Philippians 4:19, but my God, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Which is awesome, because if there's lack everywhere here on earth, no matter what the economy says, no matter if there's 50% of the population unemployed, my riches, my provision is not based on what's earthly possible. It's based on what's in heaven. And lastly, number three, you need some more peace? Man, I felt peace at church. I just felt peace. That's great. That's awesome. But don't stand on, oh, I felt this today. Stand on the word of God, where Jesus in John 16:33 says, I told you these things so that you can have peace in me. In this world, you will have trouble, but be brave. I have defeated the world. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. And when you love him, the Prince of Peace, and when you hear his truths being spoken to you, and when you believe and receive it, you can stand on it. And no matter what your circumstance, no matter what storm you're in, no matter what circumstance you're in, you know what? I got peace. Peace goes wherever I go. Okay? No matter what situation, no matter what circumstance, God's provision. Okay? It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. I open up my bank account. Guess what? I don't see what I am lacking. I see heaven. I know all the riches in heaven are available for my bank account. Like, it can just transfer right in. Right? I'm not basing it. Well, it doesn't look good. No. What does it look like in heaven? What does the word of God say? That he shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus and in heaven. Amen? So you're not feeling well. You got pain in your body. It's real. We don't have to deny that. But what am I standing on? By his stripes, I am healed. Oh, one of the benefits I have as a son or daughter of God is healing. He's forgiven my sin. That's the hard thing. Do you get that? Let me land on this. The greatest miracle that will ever take place in any of our lives is our sins have been forgiven. That is the most difficult thing that God ever did in your life. Forgive you of your sins. So everything else is super easy compared to that. Now for God, everything's easy. But if you can believe God to forgive you of your sins, why in the heck can you not believe him to provide for your resources? Why in the heck can you not believe he will heal your body? If you say you believe in this, which you can't see, how? This is what Jesus said. Again, I know the fight is real. Okay, the battle is real. And whether you experience it here on this side of heaven or it's next, you can have it. Because the word of God says it. And we're not pretending here. We're not saying, oh, you know what? Pretend like your back doesn't hurt when it does hurt. Okay? That's lying. But you can have a back that hurts that still believes God's my healer. And I'm standing on his word that's going to manifest. If it doesn't, I still praise him. He's still the healer. He's still the healer. He's still the miracle-working God. Even if I don't see it in my life right now, that's faith. Amen? Amen? So let's bow our heads and close. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Your word matters. Lord, I believe your word has stirred up our faith to believe today. And Lord, I believe you are calling us right now to surrender. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would give grace for people to surrender whatever area of their life today they're not believing you for. You know, you might be here and you not put your faith in Jesus to forgive your sins. You might be feeling guilt and condemnation, but here's the good news. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to remove that from your life right now. Maybe you're here and you go, I need to surrender my sickness. I need to surrender my finances. I need to surrender my marriage. I need to surrender my children. I need to surrender my job. I need to surrender my debt. Whatever it might be today, are you willing to put your hands up? Are you willing right now and not care what anybody else thinks? But you're like, God, I will surrender this to you. Whatever he's saying today, there's enough scriptures that you could grab hold of one of those to stand on as you surrender to Jesus. Are you here to say, I'm ready to surrender this? At the count of three, if that is you and you're ready to surrender to Jesus in that area of your life, wherever it might be, an area that I haven't even mentioned, but you're like, I'm going to surrender this because the Holy Spirit's saying, give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Trust him today. Trust him today with that. If you're ready to do that with all of us, today, because we all got something we're going to surrender. Do this. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Not just one. Raise both. Raise them up. One, two, three. Raise them up. Right where you're at. Say, I surrender, Jesus. I surrender this. I surrender my finances. I surrender my heart. I surrender my pain. I surrender my unforgiveness, my bitterness. I surrender this trial, this difficulty, God. I give it to you. I surrender to you and your word. I believe and I receive. In the name of Jesus, say this, church. Say, Jesus, I surrender to your love, to your forgiveness, to your word. I receive your love, your forgiveness, your power, your provision in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.